We read in Mark chapter 14, passages of scripture toward the tail end of the Gospel of Mark, an account that we'll also find in the other Gospels about the crucifixion. It was a critical time, crucial time in the life of Christ and his disciples. Important things were happening. They were happening. I mean, what was happening was what all of history has pointed to, what all the prophets in the Old Testament had pointed to. It's what the people of God had looked forward to since the Garden of Eden. It's what the animals killed in the Garden of Eden to make clothes for Adam and Eve pictured. That was about to happen. What was pictured when Noah built the ark to save his family was about to happen. What was pictured when the Passover lamb was killed and the blood was put on the doorpost was about to happen. What was pictured when Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, people that had been bitten by the fiery serpents that were dying, Moses said, all you have to do is look and live. What was pictured in that was about to happen. What was pictured in the scarlet rope that was hung from Rahab's window was about to happen. All of history looked forward to Calvary, and from that moment on, all of history looked back to Calvary. It's what Peter preached about. It's what the Apostle Paul traveled the world to share with other people. It's a message that Spurgeon spoke in his church in London, that Moody preached in Chicago, that Billy Sunday went around the country, Sawdust Trail, preaching about what happened that particular time that we read about this morning. It's what every preacher that's true to this book preaches every week. It was about to happen, and yet at that moment in history, the moment when all of history looked forward to it and the moment when all of history looked back to it, the disciples, the closest one to Jesus, the ones that ministered unto him, in the middle of the most important event in all of history, they were asleep. Asleep. Things were that they had prayed for were happening. I mean, ever since Jesus has started teaching them about the kingdom of God, they looked forward to it. They kept asking him, is it going to come now? Is it here now? I mean, they were praying for it. They were looking forward to it. They repeatedly asked him, is it coming now? And the thing that they looked forward to, the thing that they prayed to, they were in the middle of it, and yet they were not rejoicing that it had come. They were sleeping. They were asleep. And it was a time that Jesus needed them most. I mean, he needed them to travel with him and to teach with him, but he needed them more now than ever. He needed them to go two by two and preach. He needed them to do that. But he needed them more now than then. He needed them to help feed the hungry and heal the sick and minister to the people that they ministered to. He needed them for all that. And yet in this hour of his greatest need, they were asleep. They were snoozing. He'd ask him, he took him into the garden the night before he was crucified. He said, I want you to pray with me. He left nine of the disciples, or eight of the disciples. Judas was already gone. He left eight of the disciples sort of at the entrance of the garden. He took three, the inner circle, deeper into the garden. Peter, James, and John said, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to go alone and I'm going to pray, but I want you to stay awake and I want you to pray. And he went and prayed and came back. And he found them sleeping. Now, this morning, it would have been wonderful if the Bible had been able to say, Peter stood with him. But Peter was asleep. It would have been a wonderful thing if the Bible had said John stayed awake and John prayed as Jesus prayed. But John was asleep. Would have been a wonderful thing if the Bible would have been able to say, well, James stayed awake and James watched with Jesus. But James fell asleep. What a sad fact. That in the time that they had looked forward to, the time that all history looked to, the time that Jesus needed him most, the disciples were sleeping. This morning, I just want to be a pastor for a few minutes. I want to talk to the folks that belong to this church. Now, if you don't belong to this church, you can listen to what I say applies to you as well. But I want to be a pastor this morning. This kind of message I usually preach on Sunday night, but some of you don't give me a chance to be your pastor on Sunday night, so I got to sneak a Sunday night sermon in on Sunday morning for you. And that's what I'm doing this morning. I want to give you a warning. I want to give you a warning that if we're not careful, we'll be just like the disciples. You see, there are important things happening in this place. 2016 was the best year that God gave us as a church. We just had our best February. Last month, we had the highest amount of undesignated giving we have had in any other month in our church history. Last week, we had three people join the church. Wednesday night, we had three children saved in Awana. And I could go on. I could tell you about the number of first-time visitors that we have in this place. I could spend the rest of the time, the short time I have this morning, I could recount what God has done in this place. But let me just suffice it to say and keep it short this morning. There are important things happening in this place. I could tell you, I got something I'm going to share with the deacons. Did you know last year in the association we're a part of, we had more people in the morning services than any other church? We had more money given toward the cause of Christ in any other church. And I don't say that to brag, because it's not me that's doing it. I share it to tell you how God has blessed us in this place. And important things are happening. And if we're not careful, we're not going to notice it. We're not going to pay attention to it. And we're not going to give God the glory for it. We'll be like the disciples. In the middle of all these important things that are happening, we'll be asleep. Some of you may be there physically this morning. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not noticing what God has done. I'm talking about being asleep to the blessings of God. So important things are happening, just like it was for the disciples. They were asleep. Let's not us sleep. Things were happening that they had prayed for. Ever since this church started, we have prayed as a church for our church to grow. We have prayed for God to bring people. We have prayed to be a place where people hear the gospel and get saved. We have prayed for children to come to this place. We have prayed for little babies to be born. Boy, God's answering our prayers, isn't he? Amen. Glory to God. We have prayed for little babies to be born. We have prayed for little children to come into this place. I wish some of you that didn't come on Wednesday night would just come on Wednesday night and go back to the Awana program and see what goes on in this place. God is blessing us in answer to what we prayed for. He's given us little babies. He's given us children. He's given us families to minister to. It's things that we've longed for, things that we prayed for, things that we've asked God to bless us with, and we're in the middle of Him answering that prayer. And if we're not careful, we'll be just like the disciples. We'll be asleep. We won't notice it. And just like the disciples, I think Jesus needs us more now than He ever has. The world is a more wicked place than it's ever been. Children face greater temptations today than they ever have in any time in history. Homes are breaking apart at a higher rate today than they ever have. There's more perversion in the world than there's ever been. And we are closer to the Lord's return today than we've ever been in all of history. Now, I don't know the date. I'm not setting a date. I can't tell you when it's going to happen. But I can tell you of an assurity, we are closer to the Lord's return today than we were last week. And the week before that. And the week before that. And so Jesus needs us. He commissioned us. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He needs us to be His disciples today. He needs us to share the gospel today. And if we're not careful, and by the way, we have more opportunities today than we've ever had. More opportunities to talk to people. More ways to talk to people. More ways to get the gospel out. We're going to talk in our deacons meeting next week about some missionaries that we want to add. God's blessed us, and we have some people that we want to add that we support that will help carry the gospel around the world. We have opportunities that we didn't have before, and God needs us more today than He ever has. And so this morning, I would like to just reach out and take you by the shoulders and shake you if you're asleep and say, wake up, wake up, wake up. This is not the time to be asleep. In fact, in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And this morning, we need to wake up and do three things. And I'll be quick this morning. I always try to be quick on Lord's Supper morning. I always realize that I have a short amount of time, so I'll try to be quick. But we have three things that we need to do. Number one, we need to notice what's going on and give God the glory. We need to notice what God's working in our midst, and we need to give God the glory. Now, if you're asleep, in other words, if you're just sitting there in a state of bliss, and you don't have your eyes open, and you don't pay attention to what God's doing in this place, you're going to miss it. We need to look at what God's doing. We need to pay attention to what God's doing, and then we need to rejoice and give God the glory for what He's doing. We sing that song sometimes. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I try to put things in the bulletin every now and then just to keep you apprised of what's going on. But the best way to know what's going on is to be here. The best way to know what's going on is to notice what's going on. And the best thing to do when we notice what is going on is to praise God. Amen. To God be the glory for the great things He hath done. Now He uses us, but none of us can accomplish what God has accomplished in this place. It comes from Him, and we need to look to heaven, and we need to give Him all of the glory. The great things He has done. So we need to notice. We need to give Him the glory. Number two, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. Jesus came back. He said to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Simon, are you asleep? Could not thou watch 1 hour? Couldn't you stay awake for an hour? They're going to come to arrest me. Of course, Jesus didn't say that. Peter didn't know it, but it was coming. They're going to come to arrest me. They're going to put me on trial. They're going to hang me on a cross. I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. I do that willingly, but I wish you could pray for me. I wish you could hold me up to the Father in prayer. The truth is, we don't, as Christians, we don't spend enough time in prayer. I put a little note in the bulletin this morning about prayer. Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Instead of praying, the disciples were sleeping. Instead of being on their knees before God, asking God to give them the strength to stand with their master, they were asleep. And when the soldiers came, did they stand? Did they make the cause? Did they stand with the one that they devoted their life to the past 3.5 years? Did they stand regardless of the cost of what the soldiers might do to them? No, they fled. They ran away. They skedaddled, however you want to say it, stay it. I mean, even at the foot of the cross, hours later, the only disciple that we read about being there, the only one of the disciples that Jesus had called was the Apostle John. His mom was there. A couple of the ladies that ministered to him was there. But the only apostle that we read at the cross was the Apostle John. I wonder if they had spent that hour in prayer. I wonder, instead of sleeping, if they'd been praying, that maybe more of them would have stayed by Christ and more of them would have stood for Him. We need to pray. This world's not any more friendly to the cause of Christ than it was when Jesus was crucified. There are persecutions coming. There are going to be times, I think, in the near future where we're going to have to stand for our Savior in the light of persecution and other things that people are going to want to do to those that follow Christ. We will not be able to do that unless we pray. We will not be able to do that unless we spend time down on our knees with our hearts bowed before a holy God, asking for His strength, asking for what we need. So we need to notice what's going on, and we need to give God the glory. We need to pray. And then number three, We need to get involved. We need to get involved. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Don't just sit and let what's happening pass you by. Find something to do and do it. Find something to do and do it. Listen, every one of us can witness. Every one of us can tell somebody else how we got saved. If you can't tell somebody how you got saved, you're in trouble. You need to get saved yourself. Every one of us can tell somebody else how we got saved. Look, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you what happened to me. I realized I was a sinner. I had read this book over and over. My pastor, my Sunday school teacher, my grandmas had told me over and over that I was a sinner. This book says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Hey, I was a church kid. I was pretty good. I went to church every time the door was open. But even before I was told, I knew that in the sight of God, I was a sinner. And so are you. So are you. It's what the Bible says. We're all sinners. I came to realize, this is what happened to me, I came to realize there was a penalty of sin, for sin. I came to realize because I was a sinner, I owed something. And what I owed was to be separated from God. I read the story of the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve sinned and they were separated from God. I read all the times in the Old Testament where God's people sinned and God had to turn away from them. And I realized that because I was a sinner, God had turned away from me. And I was destined to spend eternity apart from Him. But then I heard the gospel. I heard the good news of the Bible. That because God loved me, He didn't want me to pay the price of my sin. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for me. Jesus paid what I owed. He paid the penalty that I owed. When He went to the cross, God laid on Him all of my sin. And Jesus paid for everyone of my sins. He paid for on Calvary. And the good news of the Bible is that if I come to Him and admit I'm a sinner, and believe that Christ died for me and ask Him, He would save me. I did that. I was down on my knees. My pastor studied. He was beside me. He had his arm around my shoulder. Help me pray. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Listen, let me tell you, He'll do the same thing for you this morning. There's not a person that He'll turn away. You come to Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now look, what I just did, every single person can do. You can do it in your own words, in your own way. You can tell somebody how you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. We ought to do that. Get involved. We ought to invite people to church. You know, one of the things that amazes me, I'm amazed every time I look at the numbers, is the number of first-time visitors God sends to this place. And I know why. It's because you have been faithful in inviting people. I know sometimes you said, well, preacher, I've invited this person, they don't come. I've invited them and invited them, but they don't come. That's all right. God sent somebody else. You were faithful in inviting them. They didn't come, but God said, because of your faithfulness, I'll send somebody that you didn't even invite. And that's what has happened over and over and over and over again. Everybody can invite somebody to church. Everybody can find a job in the church to do. You know, you may think that everything that needs to be done is getting done. I want to tell you, I got a list that's, well, I won't tell you how long it is. I don't want to discourage you. There are things that need to be done in this place that you could do one of them. You could. Hey, there's some Sunday school classes that need some teachers. Brother Jeff's teaching all the boys at junior age. Sometimes he has 15 boys in there, little boys. We need another Sunday school teacher. We could use some help on Friday morning. There's some things around this place. We need to, Brother Clyde and I got to visit on Monday, went to see Charlene and Jim, and we were talking, you know, we need to start a visitation program in this church. We need to go out and tell people that we appreciate them coming. And there are things like that we have a need for, that we need people to do it. So don't just sit. Don't just sleep. Wake up. See what God is doing. Give Him the glory. Amen. Pray. And then get involved. Find a place of service. If you can't find one on your own, you come talk to me. I'll give you one. Now, don't come unless you want one, because if you come, I'm going to give you one. But find a place of service, something you can do. Say, preacher, I'm homebound. Hey, I'll give you a list of people every week to call. You can call them on the phone. You can talk on the phone still, can't you? Huh? Most people still can. I'll give you a list of people to call every week. And look, what I'm saying, again, I just want to be a pastor this morning. God is blessing us in a tremendous way. Tremendous way. You can go to church after church and you won't find out, you won't find going on there what's going on here. And I'm not tearing anybody down. I'm just telling you the truth. You will not find going on there what's going on here. God has chosen to bless us in a marvelous way. Don't miss it. Wake up. Give God the glory. Pray. Get involved. And God will continue to work. Now look, I shared my testimony with you. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, the most important decision that you can make is to come to Him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way you can get your sins forgiven, the only way that you can get right with your God is to come to Jesus Christ. When He died on Calvary, He died for your sins. Your sins. Think about that. Your sins. I mean, when He died, you weren't even born yet. You weren't even alive yet. But God looked forward into the future. He knew you were going to exist. He knew you were going to be. He knew you were going to be a sinner. And when Jesus died on Calvary, our God took every one of your sins and every one of my sins and laid them on His Son. And Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. If you'll believe that this morning, He'll save you if you ask Him. Say, preacher, how do I ask Him? Very simply, you say, Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I'm asking Him to be my Savior. If you come in just a minute, I'll get somebody to help you pray that prayer. I'll show you the verses in the Bible that I referred to this morning, if you'll come. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You did for us on Calvary. Thank You, Jesus, for bearing our sin, for paying the price that we owed. And I pray if there's even just one person here this morning that's never received Christ, they would come. They would come and they would receive the gift of salvation, the gift of life that You offer to every person. I pray for people here that You've spoken to about joining the church. I pray they wouldn't hold back. They would come. They'd be obedient to what You tell them to do. If there's somebody here that needs to be baptized, even though we don't have the baptistry filled this morning, we could fill it up and baptize them next week. First step of obedience as a Christian is to get baptized. And if there's people here that need to get baptized, Father, I pray You speak to them. And then to all the Christians that are here, help us not be asleep. Help us to notice what's going on. Help us to glorify You, to praise You, and to thank You for letting us be a part of what's going on in this place. So bless this invitation. Use it for Your glory. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.